like any recording prior to discussing or babbling about whatever stupid idea has just come into my mind, even though I don't consider it stupid. Maybe it's just me who's stupid because of the way I put it. Either way, the sponsor of this podcast is Spotify for Podcasters. Now, for those of you who love podcasting and are eager to take your own college try at it, I highly recommend Spotify for Podcasters because it simplifies the process of creating a podcast by just having you record yourself and publish an episode, which can easily be distributed across multiple platforms. It's that simple. All you gotta do is pretty much record yourself, publish it on Spotify for Podcasters. There was a tongue twist there, which is common. And afterwards, once you publish it, it'll distribute it across multiple platforms within a matter of minutes, whether we're talking about Apple, Spotify, Lisbon, CurioCaster, Podfreeze, and even the second sponsor of this podcast, which is Fountain, which is a podcast app that allows you to listen to your favorite podcasters while earning Bitcoin. That's right. You're basically paying yourself. No, you're being paid to listen to the people you already admire. And you can even send them Bitcoin if you want to on the Lightning Network. So in a way, it's a win-win. Just download both the Spotify for Podcasters app and the Fountain app, and you'll get rewards automatically. Well, I mean for Fountain, not for Spotify. I don't know what you'll get for Spotify for Podcasters, but if you really want to make money as a podcaster, that's the platform I'd start with. Also, I've left some Bitcoin buying links down below because, you know what, I like to give out rewards. I mean, if you sign up, you get a referral reward, and I get a referral reward for referring you, so again, it's a win-win. Now, the subject of this episode is not, I wouldn't really say it's much, it doesn't delve into the subject of a win-win because it's on a topic I've been curious and very interested in. And it does have to do with a movie I plan on reviewing. And that would be Snowden, the 2016 Oliver Stone film starring Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the famous, or however you frame him, infamous whistleblower, Edward Snowden. I don't see Edward Snowden as a sign of infamy. I see him as a symbol of hope in many ways. Now, as to how I see him as a hero, well, I think he's a hero. But I also sympathize with the statement he makes that he's not a hero, and I think it's beyond modesty. And that's something I want to talk about, because what inspired this episode, or just the discussion about it, was this recent Chris Hedges article, and I'll link to it down below, and I think it's the podcast link, where he discusses the extradition of Julian Assange, and at the same time, the imminent death of journalism. Because, let's face it, both Snowden and Assange and Daniel Ellsberg, who recently passed, and even though I have less knowledge on Ellsberg than I do have on Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, even though I would never consider myself an expert in either case, I think it's rather interesting that all three of these individuals, these courageous truth seekers or whistleblowers, whatever you want to call them, were all charged under the same act known as the Espionage Act. And look, it's clearly a losing game to be charged by the Espionage Act, and it was just used to discourage dissidents. But I find there a bit of irony that some of the critics of Edward Snowden and Julian Assange tell them to man up for the supposed crimes they committed by publishing declassified files, even though when they're told to man up, they're really just being told to basically walk up towards the gallows, because obviously, for those of you who have been following the trial of Julian Assange, the way he's been treated and the way he's been mistreated while under maximum security pretty much shows that they're not interested in hearing his side so much as finding every excuse to kill him or just to silence him. But the real focus of this video is my own approach at how I'm going to be reviewing the film Snowden, which I hope will be soon because I'm currently watching House of Gucci, which is an odd experience. I mean, I don't know if I like or dislike the movie. I mean, it is Ridley Scott, but as I said before in a previous episode, Ridley Scott has become somewhat of a hit or misser for me. I mean, there are some of his movies I like and some I really don't care for, or I just have a very neutral opinion. But when it comes to Oliver Stone's Snowden, I do like the bravery that someone like Oliver Stone has in telling a very complex story. Yeah, he has to dramatize it, like he says, because he doesn't consider himself a journalist so much as a dramatist, and he takes a lot of pride in that because he has to make it entertaining, and I admire that. But the real focus of why I find the idea of Edward Snowden fascinating is the idea of heroism and why I think that there's something to be taken when he makes the claim that he doesn't see himself as a hero. And the fact that he's willing to face trial does also say something too, because this makes you think of that quote, don't ever try and meet your heroes because you'll be disappointed. At least I think that's how it goes. It's in that spirit. And I do believe that. I mean, look, you could say that there are people I admire and I have a lot of respect, but I'm not necessarily interested in meeting them. Well, at least not in the sense of having a moment where I experience and bask in awe of their greatness, even though I'm not saying there wouldn't be an appeal to that. But the double-edged negative part of that sword is that not just that you learn something about them that can be discouraging, but then there's the problem. There is a problem overall in considering them heroes. Because the idea of a hero as opposed to actual heroism is something we rarely separate. Now, when you turn someone into a hero, that is making room for all sorts of manipulation, where you can turn them into an idol or to a symbol as opposed to someone who had something to say and did something significant that had real impact. I mean, people are becoming more and more aware that Martin Luther King was way beyond the I Have a Dream speech, which has been whitewashed to ignore some of the other issues he was discussing, like the major wage gap within the United States between middle class and other classes. He also was very opposed to the Vietnam War, and he saw a lot of bullshit in that, just like Danny Ellsberg learned. But it's easier to brand them a hero and focus on a specific moment that they were very famous for as a way of whitewashing the issue and ignoring the bigger elements that painted that issue. And that's why I think that there is a dangerous thing about labeling people like Assange and Edward Snowden as heroes. Now, I'm not saying they aren't heroic. I think what they've done is very heroic. I think the trials they've had to endure, the suffering they've had to endure, the life they had to give up is not an easy thing to do. I mean, fuck. I think the fact that Edward Snowden has not gone to the had been able to go back to the United States for over a decade is very sad. Because when you look at Edward Snowden's story, and I've seen the movie Snowden several times, you look at his patriotism and the love he had for his country, you don't even think of him as an angry person who is taking out his vengeance or just expressing his own bitterness towards a country he once believed in. It's more like a guy who lost his faith, but in a system he used to be wholeheartedly trusting of. But he didn't resort to bitterness so much as he did something that basically cost him his life because he still believed in the very ideals of the nation he loved in. And I don't consider myself patriotic. I do respect patriotism in the true spirit of what it symbolizes rather than the swarmy, flag-waving bullshit that acts more as a form of moral virtue signaling. I mean, the closest example we can compare that to today is the war in Ukraine. Now, I think I'm not a Putin apologist. I think that the war in Ukraine was totally unjustified. I think the invasion of Ukraine was absolutely unjustified, but it was predictable, given the circumstances. And there's a difference between being a flag waver and being a rationally thinking person and seeing what the real cause or what's really at the heart of the conflict. And I say that with regards to the dangers of labeling people like Snowden, Assange, and Daniel Ellsberg as heroes, because I doubt they would want to be recognized, turn into idols of worship or this simplified version of admiration, because there is a danger to that. Because I'm sure that as demonized as much as modern mainstream media has worked to demonize figures like Julian Assange or Edward Snowden, I bet you they could easily flip and just do that in a way where they could paint them as heroic characters. But they would obviously do it in a very superficial way, where instead of getting at the heart of what they were doing or what they were tackling, they can distract from the most basic common issues that they were obviously talking about. I mean, I'm trying very hard to make myself sound as intelligent as possible while discussing this, but I guess there is no real debating it, because let's face it, we all know the media lies, and even when they tell the truth, they're still fucking lying. What do I mean by that? It's very simple. The truth is never simple. It's more complex than we realize. But you can lie, but you can still lie by telling the truth. Just by, I almost burped there. You can lie by telling the truth. And you can do this just by simplifying it, making it so digestible that the average thinking person who has very little energy or doesn't have the strength or the time to focus on whatever subject matter that bears this type of complexity will believe it and just move on. And that's true. I mean, there's no question that a guy like Putin is evil. But calling him the next Hitler is fundamentally absurd, and it's become a common trend within U.S. propaganda, to the point where it's not only laughable, but it's just straight out ridiculous, and to a level where it loses its validity or any sense of credibility in how we view evil. Because yes, Hitler was evil, but saying every great evil or autocratic leader is a Hitler-esque figure is kind of absurd. Because I mean, it kind of gives credibility to Hitler as a leader, because yes, he was charismatic and manipulating an entire nation, but he had a shit military record, and he was a failed art student who just turned to politics. I mean, there's always more to that kind of story. In this case, there was probably some financial backing. And there's speculation that Putin is backed by a lot of financial interests within Russia, a lot of oligarchs. I haven't done much research on that. I'm just basing on what I've heard from independent journalists, but I'm inclined to believe it, because it seems like a rational way of... It seems much more rational than saying, oh, he's pure evil, he's Satan incarnate, rather than something more complex with a more complex background. Granted, I see him the same way that Oliver Stone recognized someone like Richard Nixon, because I remember like watching an interview of Oliver Stone for Nixon, the 90s film he made with Anthony Hopkins, starring as Richard Nixon, which is a really great film, and I implore anybody listening to this to check it out. But he referred to Nixon as Machiavellian. Obviously Oliver Stone didn't like Nixon, but he was being as empathetic as he could in describing the characterization he had of Nixon, and how it was far more complex than people would realize, or just how a more pop culture-esque portrayal of him would come off. And I see Putin in the same light as I see any figure of that is more in the gray rather than just in the binary sense of how we can view them. Now, again, I'm not defending someone like Putin or Hitler or even Nixon. I'm just simply saying that there's always a greater level of complexity to them or the factors that painted them in the way they are throughout history. I mean, history is often told by the winners, and sadly, that's usually a bad thing. Hasn't really worked out very well, because it's kind of nullified our own ability to look for answers on a deeper level. Again, this is just my idea. Well, these are just several ideas I'm throwing out on the table, because I'm going to go into deeper exploration while discussing the film Snowden when I do a film review. Yeah, that was kind of stupid. But when I actually do a review of the film, I want it to be much more detailed, my own views of the subject matter, because I mean, if I was to be given a straight-out opinion about what should happen with Edward Snowden, I think it should be pardoned automatically, whoever becomes president of the United States, whether it's someone like RFK Jr. or Ramaswamy, Ron DeSantis, Donald Trump. I would love to see Tulsi Gabbard on the ballot. I mean, I have no optimism of Biden doing that. I mean, just him getting up on a fucking stage is a miracle. Anyway, these are my thoughts on the idea of heroism versus being labeled a hero when it comes to figures like the late Daniel Ellsberg, Edward Snowden, and Julian Assange. And I hope that whoever's listening to this can take that idea to heart, because I do think it's important to look at the distinction and not easily be manipulated, because even figures whose reputations have been destroyed can easily have them restored. But for all the wrong reasons, that can operate as a tactic of manipulation. I mean, look at a movie like Top Gun. And I'm not bashing anybody who loves Top Gun, but I think aside from the joke people make that it's a gay male erotica film, it's also a military recruitment film, and that didn't go so well later on prior to the sequel, and it has been considered jingoistic in many sense, and I don't want to bash anybody who likes it. I wasn't a fan of it, but not for that reason, so much as it was kind of boring. And frankly, I think I look at it sometimes like an 80s music video. And I just think, I mean, no offense to the late Tony Scott, but I think he's made much better films than Top Gun. He made better films than Top Gun. And it's a shame he couldn't make any more films. I mean, I love True Romance. Anyway, I'm reaching that point in the review where I'm running out of things to discuss, because I think I've tried hard enough to over-intellectualize the case I'm making. So I'm going to leave you a little early on that, and I hope you all enjoy this episode of Open Door Films. Hopefully the next time I do make a video, I will be discussing Oliver Stone Snowden. Anyway, hope you all enjoy this episode, and till next time.